We thank God that we could be here again tonight. And the Lord has been blessing us and opening up our hearts. First of all, I'd like to say that God loves every one of us with a deep, intense love. The love of the Father goes deeper than we can ever imagine. Thank you so much for being obedient to the moving of the Spirit. For those that came up for prayer, thank you. That's a great step. I encourage you, whenever the Spirit of God is moving, don't be bothered with somebody next to you or whatever somebody else may be thinking. Focus on the Lord. The Lord is here to meet our needs. And there is no disappointment in God. And all of us are here with our very many needs. As our faces differ, so our needs differ. So as we come into the presence of the Lord, He is here to bless us, to help us in such a way that we would leave this place renewed in mind and spirit, that we could go back to our homes and experience that continual flow of His anointing. The waters has been stirring, and the moving of the Lord has been here. It may not be the mighty rush of that waters, but there is a quiet flow and a quiet moving of that water. And the Spirit of God sometimes move in this way. I've learned that still waters run deep. Sometimes the Spirit of God is moving deep within the inner recesses of our hearts and touching us. And sometimes it may even appear to be emotionless, but that's the way that the Lord moves. It's all well and good sometimes to jump and shout as the Spirit of God moves. There are other times as we remain silent in His presence, as we wait on the moving of that water and the stirring of that water, and we enter in to partake of that divine spiritual blessings. Amen. Can we just bow our heads in a word of prayer? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Blessed be the wonderful name of the Lord. Our Father and our God, we thank You, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. We worship You tonight because there is none else beside You. There is no one greater than You, Lord. For You are bigger than the biggest. You're greater than the greatest this evening. So we bow our hearts. We pray that You bless Your word unto our hearts. Anoint every listening ear. Anoint every listening heart. Lord, anoint feeble lips of clay tonight. And bless Your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. And tonight I'd like to share some thoughts on some of the struggles that we go through. If you notice, the trend of these meetings thus far has been dealing specifically with the struggles that we go through, the fears that we suffer, and God seems to be, by His Spirit, zooming right into those areas. And as we respond to the moving of God's Spirit, I believe that He will just minister and strengthen us. I'd like to touch on some areas of the spiritual warfare. Today, we find that there is a lot of struggles among God's people. And let's face the facts, there is a warfare going on, and a spiritual warfare more of that. But as Brother was saying, Brother Price mentioned about 65 years ago, there was a move of God right in this place. We rejoice in the fact that God has moved. We are not remaining at 1948. 1948 happens to be a reference point for us. But we can look back and say, to God be the glory. He has taken us along the way. And many good things have come out of the move of God. And we are not the only move of God. There are many other moves around the world. And we thank God for His moving around the world and across the nation. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. All over the world, as the prophet said it would be. There is a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Today happens to be, the day is referred to as Good Friday in many circles. And for more than one reason, people generally tend to reflect at the crucifixion on what the Lord Jesus Christ, what He went through. He suffered and He died on the cross of Calvary. That was the turning point, I believe. But that was the landmark in history that today, as we look around and see so many faces, we can say, to God be the glory. That because of Calvary, we can thank the Lord that we are brought into His kingdom, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and partaking of this glorious, wonderful salvation. The Lord is good, and He has done this work among us. Brought us together. The blood of Christ that was shed abroad in our hearts has brought us together as one in Him. So we are thankful to God. At this Easter time, people reflect on that great sacrifice that Jesus made, the Son of God, for us. It is sometimes good for us to come back to Calvary, to revisit the scenes of the cross, to see what our Savior went through for us. We can come back to that place to realize that it was at this point in history that God just opened up the way and the grace of God was ushered into that way so that we could enter in and partake of this glorious salvation. It was at this point when the law and the grace did meet at the cross of Calvary. We're so thankful that today we can look back and say, thank You, Lord, for sending Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, that You came. Holy Spirit, teach us more about this lovely name. It was at that point that we can look back and say that truly, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. That's the place we need to come back to and just lay our burdens right there at the foot of the cross. Whatever you're struggling with, I know some of us came up for prayers, whatever we might be going through, or whatever someone else that we know might be going through, we can encourage them the same way. Bring it to the foot of the cross and lay it there. As the songwriter said, bring your burdens to the cross and do what? Leave it there. And the problem with us as human beings, we try to pick up that burden and try to carry it ourselves. And God doesn't want that. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Sometimes we want to take on the battles, but the Lord wants us to give over the battles to Him. The battle is the Lord's. You know something? The victory is ours. That's why God takes us from victory to victory, from glory to glory, from strength to strength, and He's moving in a people and bringing about His glory in them. Praise God. The strategies of the world, the strategies of the enemy, our arch enemy. Yes, we do have an enemy. And this evening, it's not my intention in any way to glorify the works of the devil. We are here to glorify God. We are here to focus on the things that the Lord has done. And so, but Jesus was very forthright when He was speaking. And I love what He says in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says this, He says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He outlined clearly the work of the enemy, the work of the devil or arch enemy, I dare say. And He also outlined His ministry when He came on earth. He said, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So we have partaken of that life, that spiritual life that God has enabled us to partake of, that we today we are born of the Spirit, born into this kingdom of God. Jesus said in John chapter 3 verse 5 that this was his response to Nicodemus, who came to him very secretly and wanted to find out how can he be born again and all the rest. But I like the words of Jesus. He says in chapter 3 verse 5 of John, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." Every person that is a partaker of the kingdom of heaven must be born of the Spirit, must be born from above, must have that experience of a renewal in their spirit, a change of heart, a change of mind, and a change of spirit. That's where the changes takes place from. We often tend to look for changes from the external and hoping that those changes will come from the outside and come and affect us internally. But the changes will come from the inside, deep within our spirit. When the Lord touches our spirit, that's where the changes occur. That's where it comes about that we are a changed people. That's when we were born into the kingdom of God. And that's when the Lord has called us. And God has always wanted us to walk this way. Jesus had many struggles when he walked the face of the earth. How many of us here that do not have any struggles? If you do, please see me after the meeting. I will seek some counsel from you. But we're all going through some struggle or the other. But I find that the greatest of our struggles, we have learned this morning that everything has a spiritual relationship to that. Every action, every motive, every desire, we've got a spiritual connection there. You may ask the question, well, supposing if someone is going to do something wrong, if that's a spiritual connection. Yes, it is. Because in the world we live in, there are evil spirits. There are evil influence, as well as there's the influence of the Holy Spirit. So there's holy and unholy. There is good and bad. And that's the world that we live in. Jesus said it clearly. He said, "Ye are in the world, but not of the world." Our greatest enemies and the things that affect us so much could come from within us, our own struggles. So I'd like us to turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And Paul writing to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And he was outlining some of the same struggles that we go through. And just before we read that scripture, I'd like to make a statement. And I'd like you to just think on this. God has made us in his likeness, in his image. Sometimes we tend to see ourselves as human beings within a spiritual context. Well, really, we should see ourselves as spiritual beings, firstly, within a human context. And if we see that, because the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, the spirit never dies. So the human goes, but the spirit lives on. So if we are spiritual beings in a human context, we have eternal life. We live on and we will go on. But if we are just human beings in a spiritual context, after the natural death, well, that's the end. And that's not what God intended for. But the enemy is fully aware of that. And so Paul was saying to the Corinthian church that there are spiritual struggles. We hear today of so many people Oh yes, we go through depressions and we go through all kinds of difficulties, and it seems that cloud is hanging over us and we just can't move out of that. That darkness hanging over us and we just can't get over it. Well, there is a spiritual warfare that takes place. And I'd like us to be aware of that, because Paul was writing to the Corinthian church and he said, "Now I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is patient and base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. Now I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." The spirit not only struggles against the flesh and the spirit, but there is a spiritual warfare. There is a spiritual warfare. Verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the things of the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're spiritual." That's where our greatest struggle lies. It's not in the battlefield of Afghanistan and Iraq and those countries. The greatest battles lies deep within our minds. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So, brothers and sisters, we do have a warfare. And that warfare starts from deep within our minds. The thoughts that we entertain, the things that come to our mind. I've always said this before: you sow a thought, you reap an act. You sow an act, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap an eternity. It starts from a simple idea. And this is an admonition, especially not only to our young people, it's all of us. It's just feeding our minds, giving the enemy ammunition. Today we have found that a survey was carried out, and more than 50% of adult men are hooked on pornography. It's the mind. It's the battle of the mind. The books we read, the films we watch at, the videos, whatever we entertain our mind. Our mind is considered the gallery. Well, I came up from a British system where the first place that you enter into a home is called the gallery, where you entertain guests. And so the mind is like the gallery. That's the first place the thought comes in. And that thought, if we're not able to deal with that thought, it stays on us and it grows and grows. And from the stage of a visitor, that thought becomes a resident. And a resident takes hold of the whole house. And then eventually we're being controlled and driven and addicted. And it seems that though that's how people enter into that area of possession. Well, God wants us to be possessed with the Spirit of Christ and not possessed by any evil or anything that is unlike Him. But it starts from a simple thought. So how do we guard our thoughts? How do we watch the things? Well, none of us is beyond that. I dare say that we all go through that struggle. But the problem is, how do we deal with those things? And we should take a model from Jesus. when Jesus, he was fasting and praying, and just after fasting and praying, he came out of the desert. You and I would think, if we are fasting and praying, we are strong, and the enemy would come nowhere our territory. He would just keep off because we are so spiritual, we being in that realm of fasting and praying. But the enemy came and confronted Jesus. And if he could do that, none of us is a match for the enemy. We cannot overcome the enemy in ourselves except by the power of Christ in us. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so we need to come to that place like Jesus did when the enemy comes and says, well, if you can turn all this stone into bread. And Jesus quoted the word and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then he came again and he asked, well, can you throw yourself down and the angel will catch you? And then he came again and he said, all of these cities that you see here, I'll give it to you. Who says that the enemy owns these things? What a deception, to say the least. And he said, if you worship me, I'll give you those things. And that's a key area, if you worship me. Because God made us in his likeness, in his image, that we should worship him and nobody else and nothing else. God wants us to give him that place. So the enemy realizes that, came to Jesus and said, bow down and worship me. These are the struggles. These are our warfare that we go through. That we must be aware of these things. And see them. And look to the Lord. I tell you, brethren, I've been asked this question time and again. As you know, I came from South America. And many times we go down into some of the jungles and the rainforest there. Some of the brethren here have been with us, Brother Andy, Brother Smith, and so on. And during our services, wonderful anointing moving and the Spirit of God moving. But yet, in the midst of all of these things, there would arise some of the needs of the people. You would find someone coming up for prayer, and suddenly you find that they were possessed of an evil spirit. And we have to pray for them, cast out those devils. So remember, I know Brother Smith gave this testimony there in South America. There was this sister. She was possessed of the enemy. She couldn't control herself. It's beyond the stage of oppression and suppression. This is an inward possession. She was doing things that was beyond her. And there was nothing that could deliver her except the power of Christ and the anointing. When she came for prayer, the Spirit of the Lord came and just delivered her. Praise God. And she experienced such a deliverance. When she got her deliverance that very night, he counseled with her. What happened? She was filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And it's just like a container of water, dirty water, and all of that is poured out. And then a fresh, clean water just comes into that vessel, pouring out the evil. And the Holy Spirit just came in and she was filled, baptized with the Spirit. Hallelujah. We met her 2 years ago in Georgetown with Brother Smith there. And she came, she said, it's over 15 years. She's been walking the walk with Jesus. She's experienced a touch of the power of God. And you know what? God has blessed her and given her that ministry to even encourage other young people. Because many people, and they look at it, are we give things different labels? We give things in the label of depression. And then, I'm not criticizing, please don't think that way. And we give things by the name of addiction. And we give things by the name of fear and doubt and all these fancy names, and we find names and phobias and all these things. But the Lord says, fear not. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. That's the spirit of Christ. That's the power of God. That's the gospel that we preached. And that's where we're saying that we enter into that spiritual warfare. But I encourage you, I challenge every one of us here in this service to leave this place, never again to allow ourselves to be conquered by the enemy, to be conquered in our thoughts, but arise in the power of God. And let the Lord give you the strength. You must take an aggression against the enemy. Our spiritual warfare is real. Is real. From time to time, in Ephesians 4:27 says what? The previous verse says, be angry and sin not. To let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Just to be, allow the patience of the Lord. When I came to the United States, they advise me, if I'm angry, count from 1 to 10. If I'm extremely angry, count from 1 to 20. I tell you, it's except by the Spirit of God, we will not be able to accomplish those things. So, verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. If you open your door to the devil, he will come in. He's a thief. He comes to steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. He comes to break up your marriages. He comes to destroy your home. He comes to send your young people into the far country and destroy him. This is the work of the devil, people. And so we need to recognize these things. And we need to get prepared and get ready as a church to stand against the wiles of the enemy. As the scripture says, we just came back from Africa, Brother Richard Holt and myself in Ghana. And, you never know what to expect. Sometimes it's the unpredictable. We had wonderful elders and deacons meetings. With the elders, the deacons came in from various areas in Ghana, and we meet to a place just outside of Accra, the capital area, had our meetings. And after that, we visited some of the local churches in the outlying areas, had meetings and so on. There's a place called Ishira, in Swanso, rather. These are not speaking in tongues, by the way. These are just names. During the service, such a wonderful moving of the Spirit. I tell you, there is no substitute for the moving of God's Spirit. There is no substitute for the anointing. There is no substitute for the unction on high. Put all the programs alongside and put all the plans and all the details alongside. Put them aside. It's the anointing. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And we will only accomplish the victory through the Holy Spirit. There's no other way. So we were there in this service. And after the preaching of the word and the singing and so on and everything else went on, there are people that came up for prayer. Prayer for the sick and different needs and so on. And in the midst of prayer, there was a young lady, and she came up for prayer, and immediately the enemy worked and started to manifest. Now, you might ask, Brother Robert, well, we don't see these things here in North America. Is it only for Africa and South America and India and the third world country? I say this as much. That the enemy of our souls works with different strategies. In North America, he's the angel of light. He comes very deceptive and very sophisticated as this in these societies. In the jungles of Africa and in South America, he is a roaring lion. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's very bold and presumptuous. And as the servants of God, when we are stirred with that anointing, we have to face head on against the enemy. The enemy shall never prevail against God's people. And that's what I want you to know tonight, that you have got the victory. God gives you the victory at the cross of Calvary. Let's not just reflect on the crucifixion as a point of reference. Let's see the crucifixion, that the work was done, that the enemy was defeated, that Jesus Christ accomplished it all. The little song says, Calvary covers it all. That's where our victory lies. Calvary covers it all. And this sister here, we began to pray for her. And the manifestations, I wouldn't go into too much details or want it to be too graphic for obvious reasons. And she was just defying those brethren. She held out her finger like this and was just parading. And I tell you something, exposing the work of the enemy. One of the things that the enemy likes is attention. If the enemy can disrupt the service, he'll do everything to do it. And so we put her to sit down and then continued a little bit. And then at the right time, at the stirring, at the moving of that anointing, we came back and prayed for her. And the Spirit of the Lord came and touched her. She was down on the floor. I tell you. And those spirits, of course, the Spirit spoke through her and said, he has called her to be used in this traditional religion of witchcraft and all the rest. The enemy like to talk a lot of nonsense. Jesus did not carry on too much of conversation. He said, lock, stock, and barrel out in Jesus' name. And that's the disposition that we need to take as the people of God. Now, please don't feel that this is a strange doctrine. I thought about this before giving this teaching very seriously. But everything that I say here coincides with the Word of God. And so, in about 15 or 20 minutes, is about that time, she was completely to herself. Hallelujah! The power of God came and touched her, and the Lord did a tremendous work. It's like casting the armies of the enemy and putting them to flight. And the Lord came. We counseled with her, she accepted the Lord. Pledge allegiance, you know, all the rest of things. And then afterwards, you know what? The brethren took her down to a little pond in that area and water baptized her. Hallelujah! She got the full package. That's what God gives, the full package. I call it the full package, you know. And a few days later on, we were inquiring, how is she doing? We heard some better news. I tell you, nothing shakes an environment or shakes a village than to see a miracle or a deliverance or some kind of healing and under the power of God. This whole situation went to the glory and praise of God. You know what she did? She went around the village, she and her husband. She was like an evangelist. That's the best way. You know, we don't have to gather crowds of people and tell them and all the rest. All that is good, but the best means of evangelism is your life. It's your walk as an individual. It's when God begins to do those little miracles, those little things, and people can see the power of God coming forth. I'd like us to turn over to Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. In fact, I'm going to read from verse 22, Matthew chapter 12. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil. I hear pages still turning, so. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he was healed. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb spake and saw. Hallelujah. You know, the enemy is out to kill, steal, and to destroy. And in one point, Jesus mentioned about that spirit of infirmity. Yes, we have that. We were praying for a little girl. I think Brother Smith was there too. And we were praying for this little girl. Oh, her jaw was literally twisted. Literally twisted. And her left instep was twisted. And she couldn't speak. The spirit of infirmity began to pray and pray. And you know what happened? I watched that child. And I saw the instep twisted like this came right back to normalcy. Hallelujah! Glory to God! This is the God that we serve. We've seen it. Yes. This is the way God. And verse 23 said, and the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? And we're talking about Jesus. We are faced with so many things here on earth as the servants of God, as the people of God. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. There's always somebody out there to criticize you when you're doing the work of God. When you're being led by the Spirit, there's always some far you see from the kingdom of God and some sad you see from the kingdom of God. Those people, they were always trying to find mistakes. I'm referring to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, by the way. And Jesus knew their thoughts, verse 25, and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. That makes a lot of sense. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? But if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But I like verse 28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Hallelujah. That's been our experience, brothers and sisters, in Africa, in India, I don't know, everywhere we go, we're casting out the powers of the enemy. Then we know that the kingdom of God has come unto us. It brings us to a position of being humble to say, well, you know, God, you are great. Not anything to rejoice or feel proud about, but to be just his unworthy servants for his glory. Verse 29, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. There is the operation of the spirit of discernment, which is one of the gifts of the Spirit. And tonight it would be difficult to go into a complete teachings. I'm just hitting the highlights or some of the areas here that I think we should be informed about. So, as the weapons of our warfare, as God's people, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. God will give us the victory. Keep praying. One of the key weapons of our warfare is prayer. Prayer and prayer and prayer. Never stop praying. Go before the throne of grace. And if there is someone that you know that has been affected, just bring them before the throne of God. God has delivered people. We have known of people who were under the bondage of the enemy. And at the right time, oh, they were completely delivered. Don't be discouraged with our young people. Don't be discouraged for those who might be running away and those who are having the difficulty. Pray the prayer of faith constantly. Bring their names up before God Almighty and He will answer those prayers. Do you believe that? I call upon the prayer warriors here tonight. I call upon the intercessors. I call upon the men and women of the armies of Israel to take their stand for the Lord. God has given each one of us. Spend that time in prayer. Spend that time in prayer. And speaking about prayer, you know, every move of God, one of the key components of those moves was the prayers. People prayed and prayed and prayed. Yes, we have the prayer room in the back here. Pray and pray. When you get home, pray. Pray when you're walking. Pray when you keep in constant. Prayer is an attitude of the heart. So I want to encourage you in that. In James 5:16, just after that famous verse that we're admonished to call upon the elders of the church to pray. For us, when we are sick and with the anointing of oil and so on, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and he, if he has committed any sins, it shall be forgiven him through prayers. But verse 16 of chapter 5 in James says those words, confess your faults one to another. And what? Pray for one another. Pray for one another. Here is a little caution. Sometimes a brother or a sister might be going through some things that may be confidential, and they need your prayers, and they may exchange those information with you. You pray, talk to the Lord about it. It's better to talk to God about people than sometimes talk to people about people. And I tell you something, you don't have to get permission to talk to the Lord about anybody. Don't seek that permission. Just go right ahead. Pray for them. Pray for them. Sometimes it's good to let them know, I'm praying for you. There was a young man who was drifted far from God, and he was drifting, and every time I see him, my heart would just go out for him. I'll put my hands around him and I'll say to him very quietly, just between he and me, I said, you know, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Just those words I would say, I'm praying for you. And I can see there was a difference in him every time I tell him that, I'm praying for you. Well, you know what? There came a time when he came back to me and he said, hallelujah, your prayers are answered. Never give up. Don't be discouraged. Stand on the grounds of prayer. The weapon of our warfare, one of the key weapons, is prayer. And when we go in prayer with God, sometimes we pray with agonizing before God. We pray with tears. We pray that we are crushed beneath the load. But God understands. Prayer is that language that God understands. And when the tears flow, Mama, when the tears flow, God understands. Don't give up. A father's bleeding heart was full of prayer when he came halfway down the line and he saw the prodigal son coming back. He must have prayed against all the wiles of the enemy and the attacks of the enemy. In our prayers, one of the weapons that we do not use as much, that I'd like to encourage us to use, is that powerful weapon that we ourselves and our natural mind does not seem to pick up. It's only in the realm of the spirit. What am I speaking of? Speaking in tongues. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. When you can't express it in English, just let the Spirit of God take you away from that natural English or Canadian English, American English, whatever English. English. takes you away from that realm, from the English, right into the realm of the Spirit. And you began to speak connection with your Spirit and the Holy Spirit and just give it over to the Lord. Hallelujah. Very often the victory is accomplished before we even know it. Very often God already accomplished the victory. By the end of this camp here, the Lord would have already given us the victory. And sometimes we don't even know it. But you know what happens to us? I'm being practical here tonight. You know what happens to us? Oh, it's a lucky thing I did this. Oh, maybe it's a good thing I did that. It's no good thing or lucky thing. There's no luck and chance with God. It's because you prayed and God answered your prayer. Outside of that, I don't have another explanation. Speaking in tongues, one of the weapons of our warfare. And the other thing is that we can, as a weapon, as a strategy, that we should really look to the Lord about. And the scripture mentions that in Ephesians. You know, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." What scripture is that? Can anybody help me? Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." So in this spiritual warfare, we're not called to be weaklings. God wants us to be strong in our minds, in our spirits, in our determination to walk with God. We say, down in South America, God doesn't call any jellyfish. He calls men and women with stamina and backbone to walk with him. Because their trials, their difficulties, their testings, their struggles, there's all of these things before us. And we're not called to cave in or give in. We're called to forge ahead by the Spirit of God. God will take us through. What did David say before that big, great, I almost said stupid giant came up before him with all his armor and everything he had, all the equipment and the technology, maybe everything came up before. And David said, "You come to me, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord God." Hallelujah. Don't be afraid of our circumstances when the enemy comes in. Yes, and the prophets say that when the enemy comes in like a flood, what happens? It's the Spirit of God will raise up the standard. It's not you, it's not me, it's not us. It's the Spirit of God in us will stop that standard and put the devil to his place and the works of the enemy to his place. And verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith." So we see some pieces of equipment here. The shield of faith is important. Like I said, it's difficult to go into details and all of the scripture here. But the shield of faith. One of the things that the enemy uses so often is doubt and unbelief. Doubt and unbelief. He plays on that. But we need to look to the Lord, believe God in faith, accepting what he is doing and what he was doing. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy." Let's be practical. The enemy just throw a lot of fiery darts from every angle. You know, I found that if everything is going smooth in your home, a fiery dart could come from your workplace. If everything is going smooth in your workplace, a fiery dart can come from some neighbor. Fiery darts. So we need to realize in this warfare that everything will come our way to discourage us, to bring us to the place of not serving the Lord. One of the key fiery darts is that of gossip. That's why we are all to, you know, put on that belt of truth. If it's the truth, brothers and sisters, don't worry about it. Rejoice. Keep going on. If it's not the truth, you know what to do. Repent, apologize, and move on. Ask God to help you. Is there a better way? That's very practical, isn't it? That's what I love about serving the Lord. Christianity is very practical. So, and take the helmet of salvation. Our mind again. Our minds. Our minds must be guarded. You must have the mind of Christ. The mind, what is exactly the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ is in conformity with the Word of God. My mind thinks on the Word. If this is not scriptural, well, just shoot it out. Let it go. And sometimes we've got to be aggressive. Yes, I do struggle sometimes. When a wrong thought comes to me, I would say, no, Lord, I resist this thought in Jesus' name. Help me to do it. And move on. If a thought comes to me, well, that brother over there, he is a real pain. I don't mean you, Brian. I'm pointing this way. And you know, I begin to allow, open up myself to allow judgment. Taking that just starts to work in my mind, the thought. And that starts to work. And from that, you sow a thought, you reap an act. But I hate him. Jesus says it. He that hated his brother is a murderer. And from that act, what? We develop a habit. I can't stand him. I better go the other way. And that's how. Gradually. We need to guard immediately, as soon as the first thought hits us. Lord, forgive me. Take it away in Jesus' name. Remove it. And move on. Move on. We must take that aggressive stand in the Lord. The other weapon of our warfare I'd like to touch on this evening is the Word of God. The Word of God. We've got it. You know, one of the biggest difficulties that we are finding today in the world of technology, we have, I don't know how many, hundreds of translations. And it's available on iPad and UPad and HePad and SheePad and all kinds of pads and all kinds of technology. It's available. And I'm checking the translations and so. But one of our difficulty is not reading the Word of God. Is not studying the Word of God. Is not meditating on the Word of God. So when we read, which is different to study, it's different to meditate. And when we're in these countries overseas and we want to give an example of a meditation, we mentioned about the cow. The cow goes and eats up a whole set of grass, a whole set of hay. And then he goes and he lies down under a mango tree and he chews the cud and he brings it up, finds it. That's our simple explanation for meditation. You know, when we meditate on the Word of God, our minds are being filled with the things of God. So when the evil comes in now, it can't have any space. No place there. No place. Read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Young people, if you don't have that love, pray and ask the Lord. It's the greatest love story. It's history. It's geography. It's interesting. This word is most fascinating. Go it through over and over. And the more you dig is the more you'll find. It's like the greatest gold mine. Be encouraged to read God's word. When we read God's word, we'll know the word of God. And the Holy Spirit is faithful to bring back. Now, if we put everything to our memory, some of us, like me, you ask me what I said just now. I don't even remember. But the Holy Spirit will take that word, the scripture says it, and bring back to our remembrance a word at the right time, the right, if we keep. He's faithful. God will sustain us and keep us in that hymn. So the sword of the Spirit. I wonder why they call it the sword of the Spirit. Because Jesus actually wielded that sword. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. He used the word. The word of God is our defense. And Hebrews 4:12, which is very, very, these are not new scriptures. One of the things that Dr. Johnson had mentioned to C.S. Lewis that, you know, very often you don't need to bring new teachings. It's more important to just remind people. We need to be reminded. Peter says he bring into remembrance those things. So that's very important. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful. One translation says active. And sharper than any two-edged sword. Hallelujah. I love that two-edged sword concept. When one side cuts, the other side heals. Hallelujah. Isn't that sometimes when the word of God convicts us? Hey, what you're doing is wrong here, you know. The other side, and the word of God says, come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden. Very encouraging. That's the God that we serve. Hallelujah. And it says, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see how deep? The discerner of the thoughts. Whose thoughts? My thoughts. And the intents of the heart. Cuts very, very deep. The other form of weaponry that I like to mention, that I've already said it, but it's just resisting the devil, resisting the enemy, resisting the evil thoughts, resisting the evil things that come, resisting those things. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves to God. We submit ourselves in prayer, as I mentioned earlier on. Somebody once said that if we do not find a time for prayer, Facebook, Twitter, and all the rest will be held against us. Because we have lots of communication and lots of hours being spent on those technological things. And we can put those things sometimes in front of prayers. So, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. Are you with me? I get worried when I get silent. When I get silence, you know. The other form of weaponry that we have is praising God. Praises lift us. One brother speaks about lifting the rafters. I believe it's bigger and better than that. Rick, I don't mean to get at you. It's just lifting us into that realm of the Spirit. We bring the sacrifice of praise. Sometimes when you don't feel good, then's the time to praise God. It's a sacrifice, really. When things are not looking good, then is the time you praise God. God made us so that we could worship Him and praise Him. He's able to take care of those things that we are faced with. So in Psalms chapter 22, verse 3, I like the words of David. He was a praying specialist, I call him, the praise specialist. He played the harp, he sang the praises, he wrote the praises, and you know, he was just praising God. Praise God. But he says, "Thou art holy, for thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." When we began to praise God, you know what happens? That word inhabit means coming and dwelling. You know, we invoke that anointing and power. Hallelujah. Praising God. And I thank God for many times. Worshipping Him is such a blessing. Because worship God brings about that freedom. What did God told Moses to tell Pharaoh? "Let my people go, that they may worship me." We worship God in freedom. Sometimes when you're in bondage and locked away and so on, just come before Him, prayer and praise. When Paul and Silas was in that prison at Philippi, they were locked into that prison. What happened? What was their response? Praises, glory, hallelujah. And what happened? Even the prison bars had to be flung open. Praise God. Amen. I'd like to touch on faith, as I mentioned before, which is the shield of faith in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. I reread that scripture before. And I'd like to touch on just two more, because in the interest of time, I was never attracted to preach the everlasting gospel. So, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. What a time to reflect on that shedding of blood. Good Friday, whatever Friday it is. Every Friday is a good Friday anyway. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, it speaks about a war. There's that warfare. Paul even said it when he was writing in one of the epistles. He speaks about fightings and fears within and without, you know. But I'm reading here from the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 7. "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels." Now, don't be scared. Don't be scared. I'm not going way out here. I'm just reading the scripture. "And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil," Slewfoot I call him, all his imps trying to, you know, attack God's people. I wish sometimes, you know, people like Smith Wigglesworth, seeing someone being possessed of the enemy, would give them a punch in the chest. Out in Jesus' name! The enemy must not have any memorial, any right, as far as where the people of God and our families and our loved ones are concerned. Amen to that? Amen. Do you believe that? Let's take our stand for that. And you know, and it said verse 8, and sorry, I'm reading here. "He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Now, I know we don't hear too much preaching on this. And like I said, in the interest of time, but maybe some other time we can touch on this. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God," hallelujah, "and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Day and night. Do you feel that way sometimes? That you're being accused day and night? If you ask God to forgive your sins, He will forgive you. 1 John 1:7 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquities." You know, That's one of the struggles I've observed among some of God's people. We go through that struggle. Have I been forgiven? How much? I need to go back and ask God to forgive me. God has forgiven you. Why go back to 20 years? If there's something that is still affecting you 20 years ago, maybe you should counsel with your elders and have prayers. But this is the verse. This is the verse, people. And they overcame him, hallelujah, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Hallelujah. They overcame him. They did not fall below or were conquered by him. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, the blood of the Lamb that was shed on Calvary. Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. Oh, the grace that brought me into the fold. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I got to stir some of you up. You need to go to some third world countries. Please, I don't mean to be rude. Please don't misjudge me. I just love you. As they said down in Chicago, I love you, and there's nothing you could do about it. I won't tell you what's the North Carolina version to that, but bless your heart. But the accuser of the brethren, you know, Isaiah 53, and I'm closing, I'm coming down to crunch time. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. The shedding of that blood was for our victory, for our healing. We sometimes just focus on the healing of the natural healing. That speaks about a total healing. Healing of the spirit. Healing of the mind. Healing of the body. Yes, we need that healing from the Lord. Healing of the mind and the spirit. Are you crushed beneath that load? There's that healing of the blood of Jesus Christ that God can bring about. And my final scripture. I thought somebody would say amen to that. Finally, my brethren, finally. Let's turn over to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. And I'll be there. Nehemiah is in the Old Testament. Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, they're about me. So Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. You know, Nehemiah had lots of challenges. And I remember a week ago, we were in Accra, Ghana. We were sharing on the story of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was tested right through the line. There were three guys. Sambalat, Tobiah, and the Arabian, I think. The three of them. They came to Nehemiah. They were upset because Nehemiah was doing the work. What Nehemiah did, ignored them and continued. Then they laughed at the Jews and mocked them, and they continued working. Then he sent them letters. Can you meet me halfway point? Can you compromise a little bit with me? Compromise, you know. That's what the world called politically correct. But that's not spiritually and scripturally correct. Then come half. Nehemiah said, no, no, no. We are doing a good work. We cannot come down. And in the process of all of that, in chapter 8, I'm just going to read that one verse there. You know, when the Lord began to work, there were some of the people that were going through that grief. But Nehemiah said to them, the scripture says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send the portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry. For, can we say this together? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You talk about strength. You know, one of the things that really gets me, really worked up, is to see a child of God being so enthusiastic about the things of God. We were in Suriname, Nigeria, and a man was, he just met us for the first time. He never knew us, never saw us before, but he came up to me and he said, "Are you Christians or something?" You know? I said, "Why?" I asked him why. He said, "Because he saw that glow among us there, and he was so enlightened." And he began to talk. He didn't give us not an opening to say, "Well, good to meet you, brother," or anything of the sort. He was just bubbling and bubbling. And oh, praise the Lord, his God is good, and God is this. And he was just exuberant. By the time I left that man and we departed, I felt something of fellowship has really touched me. I see the joy of the Lord just bubbling over. I tell you, don't let nobody steal your joy. Don't let the enemy steal your joy. This is what the enemy tries to do. Squeeze out and suck out that joy that God has given you. What you're going through, don't lose your joy for the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Be happy in the Lord. Salvation is never meant to be endured. Oh, I got a good Lord another day. Salvation is meant to be enjoyed. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. All the women in the house say, praise the Lord. All the men in the house say, praise the Lord. Everybody says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Are we prepared to take our stand for the Lord? Are we prepared to say yes to right and no to wrong by the grace of God? Yes. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Brian, can you help me with that song? The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord. I'm not seeing.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Stop for a moment. Stop for a moment. You know, I know we'd be probably tired. I know we're probably saying it's getting late and so on. But we could put a little bit of oomph, that's the word, into it. Whatever it is, we can put a little bit more. Are you happy in Jesus?
Amen.
Are you happy for your salvation?
Amen.
Young people, are you happy?
Amen.
Seniors, are you happy?
Amen.
Juniors, are you happy?
Amen.
Newers, are you happy?
Amen.
I guess you didn't understand that. That's the Prasad coinage, newers. Anyway, are we all happy?
Yes.
Let's sing this song again. And as we sing this song, I'd like us to do something. I'd like us to embrace and greet one another. Every camp is a different camp. Every service is a different service. Amen? Just greet everybody. Greet everybody. And as you greet, just pass on that joy. If somebody is sad or looks sad, just greet them and embrace them and pass on some of that joy.
Joy.
Again, the joy.
The joy of the Lord.
Amen. Now, let's come back to our seats. Are we going to pray? We're just going to pray. It's all right, you can be seated. I know you've already used up the 27 calories by standing and moving around. That's all right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this glorious salvation. Thank you for the death of Calvary. Thank you for, most of all, the resurrection, that we can rejoice in the living God. Father, we thank you for bringing us into this household of God. Thank you for giving us such joy. May this joy be so contagious among us and spread, dear Lord. May the enthusiasm of walking with you just continue to glow in our hearts. Bless your people, oh God. Bless us, we pray. Bless every home. And Lord, we pray in a special way for those who may be having struggles in their homes, in their lives. We pray in Jesus' name that you will break the bondages. Let the captives go free. Let the anointing flow up in our lives. Let the anointing flow in our homes. May the Spirit of the Lord come upon us, Lord, setting us free and causing those doors to be open. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And all God's people say, amen and amen and amen. Thank you very much. God bless you.